Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we're going to talk to the Minneapolis VA about moral injury and building spiritual strength with our veterans, and visit with Chaplain Lieutenant Colonel Buddy Wynn about preparing for an upcoming deployment. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General John Jensen.
It is difficult to talk about our mental health, but it is just as important as our physical health. It's vital that we openly discuss what we may be going through. As citizen soldiers and airmen, we are balancing a life of military training, family life, and full-time work or school. It may feel overwhelming at times, but there are resources available to those who need them, such as Military OneSource and the Crisis Text Line. Reaching out when we are struggling is not a sign of weakness. It's a sign of strength. Just like a muscle, we can build up our resiliency, our ability to recover from challenges in our life. The Minnesota National Guard is always ready to support our service members. Let's talk about mental health and resiliency and support all of our soldiers and airmen.
Thank you, General Jensen. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. We have a special co-host in the studio today is Chaplain Lieutenant Colonel Buddy Wynn. Chaplain, good to have you back in the studio. It's been a while.
Tom, there's a lot of other things I could be doing today, but I'd much rather be here with you having this great discussion.
Thank you, sir. We're going to talk about moral injury and building spiritual strength, preparing for deployments, and a whole lot of other stuff. And later on, we'll talk to the Command Sergeant Major Doug Wortham. So our first guest in the studio today is Dr. Irene Harris, who is a psychologist at the VA healthcare system in Minneapolis, who has authored many articles and book chapters on the role of spirituality in mental health. Since coming to the VA in 2002, her work has been focused primarily on spirituality in recovery from post-traumatic stress. And Dr. Harris, it's been a few years, but welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
So very happy to be here.
Doctor, can you just give our listeners a little background? I understand you went to your most recent education, I believe, was at Texas Tech University.
Yes, I completed my PhD in counseling psychology at Texas Tech University, and that's where I actually started doing research on the intersection of spirituality and mental health.
And we're going to talk all about that today. And mm-hmm. I understand that you first came to the Minneapolis VA Medical Center in 2002.
I did. I started as a rehabilitation psychologist in 2002, and the work in spirituality and moral injury almost happened as a happy accident. I was talking with Dr. Chris Urbis, one of our, at that time, therapists in our outpatient PTSD team. Both of us were very struck by different ways that spirituality impacted recovery from PTSD, sometimes very positively, sometimes very negatively. And both of us felt that we didn't have adequate training to understand what was going on. We started writing grants. We started getting some research done to find out what that relationship is. And now, 15 years later, we not only know a whole lot more about what's going on, but we know a whole lot more about how to address it clinically.
So you got some grants, did some research, and now I understand you are referred to as a clinical investigator.
That is my job title. That means my job is to research new ways for the VA to help people in areas where we don't have adequate tools yet.
And Chaplain, I know that you and Dr. Harris talk to each other occasionally and work together. You must benefit from all that research that she's done.
We benefit greatly. We've had an opportunity to refer soldiers to Dr. Harris's programs over at the VA as a source of help and strength and support. And we've also benefited from having Dr. Harris to come and speak with our chaplains and religious affairs specialist during our regular collective training.
Chaplain and I are speaking with Dr. Irene Harris from the Minneapolis VA healthcare system about moral injury and developing spiritual strength on Minnesota Military Radio. So, Doctor, what is moral injury?
Oh, that's such a good question because it's a relatively new concept and it is still evolving in the literature. But generally speaking, most people will agree that it is the mental health consequences of being put in situations where one either has to violate values that are precious to oneself or one sees values that are precious violated.
So, Doctor, in the context of war, how does that affect your definition of moral injury?
in the context of war, this becomes very interesting and very complicated quite rapidly. When we make moral decisions here in the U.S. at home, we make them based on basically one moral system. We have our civilian ideas about what is right and what is wrong. But when we go to a combat situation, now we have two moral systems in our head. We have civilian law and we have the rules of engagement. And sometimes what is right in one of those systems is wrong in the other system. If you're thinking about what you're doing is not very deliberate and very complicated, it becomes really easy to hold yourself responsible and start feeling guilty and blaming oneself for something that isn't actually wrong. And a lot of our service members and veterans do wind up in that hole. The good news is there really is a way out of that hole, and we have lots of ways now to help people to find their way out of that.
So, Doctor, we're really dealing with some more severe occurrences or incidents, such as witnessing death or dying, failing to prevent immoral acts of others, or giving or receiving orders that might be perceived as moral violations.
Exactly. One of the examples I hear most frequently in my lab is the first vehicle in a convoy often has to hit a child or an elderly person or a disabled person, because terrorists will often throw somebody like that in front of a convoy in order to stop or attack. The moral decision the driver has to make is they can either hurt that one person or they can see their convoy attacked and possibly see hundreds of people killed.
So these aren't easy decisions. These are tough, tough situations.
The idea of a clear-cut right and wrong go out the window very, very rapidly in a combat situation. And so when service members start holding themselves accountable in the moral context that maybe doesn't count in this event, if you start thinking of yourself in a civilian moral context, when you've got to respond in a combat moral context, you can have yourself tied in knots very rapidly.
So, Chaplain, when our troops have been out on a mission and they've had to make some of these tough decisions, what's the aftermath of a moral injury?
Chaplains
blaming themselves? What's going on?
You bet, Tom. They're going through a myriad of emotions just based on what Dr. Harris had said. And chaplains are there to help them try to process that and to get back into the fight, because the mission doesn't end just because something tragic happened. That's part of the role of chaplains. In addition to helping that individual soldier or maybe that small group, a squad or a platoon, chaplains are there to advise commanders about the impact of having to make these very, very difficult decisions, and that puts them in a great place of influence for the mission.
So, Chaplain, you're there deployed with our troops when they're out and they're doing their missions, and you can help them when they immediately come back or throughout the rest of the deployment. But we need to understand that the VA Medical Center and Dr. Harris have resources available to help the long-term impacts of that. Is that correct, Doctor?
That is very correct. We actually have quite a menu of resources available at this point at the Minneapolis VA.
So if we have veterans out there that have been deployed and witnessed some things and they're having issues with it, they should contact the Minneapolis VA Medical Center.
They absolutely should.
Thank you, Dr. Chaplain. We have to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to talk more about moral injury and building spiritual strength on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. Today, we've been talking about moral injury and building spiritual strength. And my co-host for the show today is Chaplain Lieutenant Colonel Buddy Wynn. And we've been talking to Dr. Irene Harris, who's a psychologist at the VA healthcare system in Minneapolis, who has authored many articles and book chapters on the role of spirituality and mental health. And Dr. Harris, we've been talking about moral injury in war, and in the context of war, those moral injuries may stem from direct participation in acts of combat, such as killing or harming others, or indirect acts, such as witnessing death or dying, or witnessing some immoral acts. And I'm just interested, ma'am, the chaplain says that when they come back from these missions and during the deployment, he's there to help them work through these issues. But when they do come back from the deployments, can these moral injuries lead to post-traumatic stress, and are they the same thing?
There's an interesting relationship between moral injury and post-traumatic stress. They are not the same thing, but they are related to each other. What we see is that when an individual has both post-traumatic stress or even depression, and they're dealing with a moral injury, their post-traumatic stress or depression is much, much worse and harder to treat until we get the moral injury addressed. So it's really critical for somebody to have good mental health outcomes if there are some moral injury symptoms going on, to make sure their mental health provider knows that that's going on and address those issues. It's particularly important because many people think when they go to the VA that they're talking to a government institution and they think that they can't talk about spiritual issues there. They really can. These issues are very relevant to their treatment, and it is not an ethical problem for us to talk about it. It's an ethical problem for us to ignore it. So veterans and service members should bring these issues up.
So, Chaplain, when you're deployed and your troops are out on missions and they and some of these things happen that cause a moral injury, you're kind of there to provide first aid in the short term, and then the VA hospital can provide follow-up care when they come back.
That's right. We're doing triage, Tom, and if we can address that right off the bat, that what you've seen and what you've done is not typical, normal, and usual, this wouldn't happen back home. And we've prepared and we've inoculated ourselves for these kinds of environments, and we're going to fall back on our resilience to allow us to continue the mission, support one another, encourage one another, continue to watch one another, and then remember that when we get home, those conditions are going to change. And if we're finding ourselves functionally impaired, it's time to go talk to someone.
So, Chaplain, this kind of goes back to our discussion a few years ago about thou shalt not kill. There's a difference between killing and murdering. And when you're out there on a mission representing your country, they have to understand that there is a difference.
There is a difference. Chaplains help to inform soldiers and help them to differentiate between the two. We could do a whole separate show, Tom, just on the topic of thou shalt not kill. Maybe we'll reserve that for the future. But even as a chaplain, what do we do with love your enemy when, in fact, we have to bring kinetic action on an enemy? So it's a very deep and, as Dr. Harris said, complex and complicated issue.
And, Doctor, it's great to know that we've got military chaplains that are providing that triage or first aid. And the better the job they can do, the easier your job is going to be when they seek help, when the veterans seek help when they come back.
Indeed. Often if they get enough help from their military chaplain before they end deployment, they don't need to come see me. If the situation has gotten very complex or it's gone for a longer period of time without intervention, then there is still help. We do get good results in resolving these issues in mental health at the VA Medical Center. So get help as quickly as you can. It works better if you get opportunities faster. And at the same time, don't beat yourself up if you didn't get help right away. Go get help again.
It's never too late, is it?
It is never too late. We do a lot of work with Vietnam veterans who had their morally injurious experiences over 30 years ago, and we get good results.
I understand. I've seen some of my fellow Vietnam veterans seek help, get help, and recover from it. And, Chaplain, we've talked about spiritual healing for our combat veterans on other shows, and it's critically important. And I want to get into that, but we're talking with Chaplain Lieutenant Colonel Buddy Nguyen and Dr. Irene Harris on Minnesota Military Radio. Dr. Harris, what part does spiritual healing play in this? We're talking about, Chaplain and I've talked before about to start healing, you have to forgive yourself, seek the Lord's forgiveness, and then talk about what you went through. Where does the spirituality, the spiritual strength come into play?
So the spiritual strength piece is really important in that many people, when they are exposed to a potentially morally injurious experience, collapse in terms of how they make meaning of the world. I thought I was a good person. What I did didn't feel good. I thought I could trust my social structures to make good things happen. And now when I look at them, I don't trust them anymore. If you can't make sense out of those, symptoms of depression, anxiety, PTSD start to appear very quickly. We see a lot of people with intractable guilt. They do everything that they should do to resolve guilt, and it doesn't go away. They go to their clergy and they confess and they find ways to pay it forward over and over and over again. And instead of getting better, the guilt gets worse. A lot of times in our building spiritual strength groups, when they start taking that apart, we realize that the guilt isn't about guilt. They were using self-blame to convince themselves that they could control a situation in which they had no control. It was a terror management strategy. Once we back away from treating the guilt and start looking at the terror, things often get better and often get better quickly.
Chaplain, is that part of that syndrome where they've witnessed something or been part of something and they come back and say, Chaplain, how could the Lord allow this to happen?
Absolutely. Why did my buddy die? Why did I live? Why did that a child have to get run over? Why was that village bombed? You know, why did that vehicle in front of me get hit, not my vehicle? I mean, those ruminate through the mind eternally unless you've got a structure to deal with it and to manage it. It may never go away, but you can find yourself in a healthy side of that perspective.
So, doctor, you identify the issues that are causing the problems and then start to build this spiritual strength?
Exactly. We start in our treatment protocol to help people. It's almost like marriage counseling in their relationship with their higher power. They develop a log and start communicating with their higher power. And if they've got disruptions in that relationship, or perhaps they're blaming themselves or blaming a higher power and feeling like they can't resolve this relationship, once they start talking about it and getting support to talk about it, they start to see themselves differently. They start to see their higher power differently. They stop condemning themselves and others. So it is something that we can work on and move forward with.
I think it's really important to mention, Tom and Dr. Harris would probably agree, that if you make the choice because of what you think others are going to think about you, because you're asking for help, you're reaching out for support, so you self-medicate, and that's where alcohol abuse, drug abuse, other high-risk behaviors to maybe try to get this out of your mind is going to compound those issues and the symptoms exponentially, and you're going to find yourself even farther in the hole. So we got to set that stuff aside. Remember what allowed us to survive in war, and that was our courage and our willingness to look out for each other. Have the hard conversation with another person. Say, I'm going to help you, and together we're going to get you help so you can get back to doing what it is you wanted to do before we went to war.
So, doctor, it's examine where the problem came from, mm-hmm. talk about it, understand it, put it behind you, start building your relationship back with the Lord, and get on with your life in something positive.
Right. One of the things we do at the end of the Building Spiritual Strength Protocol is help people find where they can get spiritual support that's meaningful to them in their belief system, in their communities.
Doctor, I'm starting to understand why you work so closely with the chaplains.
Indeed.
Doctor, it's been a pleasure talking to you today. And chaplain, this has got to be nice to know that you've got a resource available like the Minneapolis VA healthcare system and Dr. Harris.
This is pure gold. This should be played for chaplains and other providers and caregivers as, the standard. This is fantastic. Thanks so much, Dr. Harris.
You're so welcome.
Dr. Harris, thanks for joining us again on Minnesota Military Radio. We look forward to seeing you in the future.
Well, thanks. I'm always happy to come back.
Thank you, ma'am. That was Dr. Irene Harris and my co-host, Chaplain Lieutenant Colonel Buddy Wynn, will be with us for the rest of the show because we're going to talk about preparing for a great big deployment that's coming up for the Minnesota National Guard. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. My co-host today has been Chaplain Lieutenant Colonel Buddy Wynn, and we're going to talk to him in a moment about preparing for an upcoming deployment. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now, here's Commissioner Larry Shelato.
The Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs offers disaster relief assistance when a natural disaster strikes. Disaster relief assistance provides up to $1,000 reimbursement to veterans and dependents that live in an area affected by a natural disaster, such as tornadoes or flooding. This assistance is available when declared a state of emergency by the governor of Minnesota. Veterans and dependents must provide receipts verifying proof of the pre-approved expenditures listed per type of disaster. Please contact your county veteran service officer for more information or assistance in applying for disaster relief benefits. Find your CVSO by calling 1-888-LINKVET, MDVA's one-stop customer service line for all Minnesota veterans and their families. That's 1-888-LINKVET.
Thank you, Commissioner Shelato. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Chaplain, that voice brings back some memories. Commissioner Shelato is one of our former adjutant generals, and you served under him.
I did. He was the state adjutant general when I was on my first deployment, and see him around the Veteran Service Building regularly, him and his wonderful wife and family, and he's a real blessing to the Minnesota National Guard.
One of the things that you develop when you join and serve in an organization like the Minnesota Army or Air National Guard is it's an extended family, a lot of friends and folks that you've gotten to know really well over the years.
That's right. The longer you stick around, the smaller the world gets.
It really does, Chaplain. Now, how many times have you been deployed?
Well, I first deployed, depends on your definition of deploy, but I spent 15 months in Korea, 1990-1991, so that was a dangerous place to be at that time. As we know, fast forwarding, 20 some odd years to today's situation on the peninsula. I deployed 2007 and 8 to Iraq. I was an aviation battalion chaplain for an aviation battalion, Black Hawk helicopters flying all over Iraq and the Middle East. And then I was the brigade chaplain for the 1st of the 34th Brigade Combat Team in Kuwait back in 2011-2012. You and I spent a little time there together in Kuwait. And now we're getting ready to head out the door with the 34th Infantry Division later this year.
Chaplain, you started out as an enlisted soldier and deployed in artillery and then took a break and became ordained. And you were first deployed as a chaplain, you said, in 2007. And that was in the thick of the war. Was that kind of a baptism of fire for a young chaplain?
It really was. We're really in a season of preparation right now for deployment. The 700-plus soldiers of the division headquarters, as have Minnesota National Guardsmen been, nonstop for the last many, many years. So you can do everything you know to do to prepare. You can listen to sound advice. You can read, as I did a lot of. You can talk to those that have been there. And that's important and necessary. But until you get there, you just really don't know. So you figure it out as you go. And it can be wrought with challenges.
And you get there and something terrible happens, like you lose a soldier or soldiers, and they look to you for advice. And as a young chaplain, that had to be a challenging situation.
Yeah, a lot of times you feel you're about a week ahead in the syllabus, and you're the half blind leading the blind. But that helps you to really solidify your foundation, and I think your confidence grows. And that's where it's really important to have a good supervisory chaplain that can come down and provide that encouragement and hope that it is going to get better, and eventually this is going to be over, and you're going to head home.
And now, these many years later, you're the full-time support chaplain for the Minnesota National Guard and the division chaplain, and you're the guy with the experience, and you have to help your young chaplains when they deploy.
Yeah, by God's grace, I have this incredible privilege of serving, and it's a different place to be, this perspective of looking back on what I've learned and sharing that and making sure that the context is still applicable. And really, we used to do counterinsurgency operations, and now we switched our focus with threats all throughout the globe and the Pacific and Europe and continuing in the Middle East, that we have to ensure that what we're teaching and training our chaplains will translate to success on the battlefield.
We're speaking with my co-host today, Chaplain Lieutenant Colonel Buddy Wynn on Minnesota Military Radio. Now, Chaplain, as the division gets ready to deploy over 700 soldiers for what's probably a year-long deployment, there's kind of two sides of it that I'm interested in asking about. Number one, we have to have the soldiers prepared to go over there and do their mission. But then number two, how does the chaplain prepare for a long deployment so that you're there to take care of those soldiers?
That's a great question. We have increased our operational tempo over the last 12 months. We've had increased in additional training days. As we're ramping up, we kind of knew when we were going to go. We kind of had an idea of where we were going to go. And so that put us kind of on a glide path with certain significant training events. And all along, chaplains are there to assist in communicating these key ideas from the command about preparation. So soldiers prepare by doing their jobs, getting better at their jobs. They're going from simple team-based activity all the way up to how do we succeed as a staff. We did that here last month at Camp Atterbury with the warfighter training exercise, which went very well by all accounts. But then we also have to encourage soldiers, to consider these areas of their lives, their family, their social life. Not everybody that's going over is married and has a deep family support system. So family, social, their emotional lives. Are there issues that need to be addressed before you go? Maybe there are issues from previous deployments. Maybe you've had a bad breakup recently. Again, we point to the resources to help those soldiers. They're physical. I mean, the desert is a demanding place. Kuwait, I looked at my phone the other day. The high at 2 in the afternoon is 117 degrees. It's going to wear you down. You get acclimated, but you got to prepare for that heat so that you can continue to perform at a high level. And then lastly is the spiritual element of preparing. You know, Dr. Irene Harris talked about her higher power. You know, as Christians, we certainly talk about one's relationship with God as a Christian chaplain or Protestant or Catholic chaplain. So what are you doing to prepare for your worst day? And then again, what are you doing to prepare your family? So these are all things that we hit on regularly. Physically, do you know your battle drills? Are you committed to training? Is your family ready to go on without you if you become a casualty or if you become significantly injured? Have you wrestled with that reality that you might not come home? And then, you know, the other thing that we say is, you know, have you prepared your family in terms of your legacy? Have you written a will? Have you designated a power of attorney? These are all difficult things to do. But what chaplains have to do is to remember that this is the way that soldiers look at the chaplain and the role that they play. If the chaplain goes down, what hope is there for the rest of us, you know?
That's a pretty good question, chaplain.
It is a good question. So I get asked, how, you know, chaplain, how do you care for yourself? When my first deployment, Tom, my answer was, well, thanks for the question. My answer is that the Lord is my shepherd. And that was true, but that was really me coming up with a you know, clever response to maybe a question that I hadn't dealt with. So
diffuse the situation a
little
bit.
That's right. Yeah, kind of redirect. Yeah, block and bridge, we say in the PAO world. But I had to find battle buddies, and I've got those battle buddies, someone that I can look in the eye and say, hey, I'm struggling in this area, and I know you know, you might have me on a pedestal because of what I wear in my uniform, which is a cross, but I need you just as much as you need me. So let's take an opportunity to talk and be real with one another so we can both make it home.
So find somebody you trust and you can talk to and they care and you can talk through it.
Everyone needs that, including chaplains.
So, chaplain, what I'm hearing is there's two sides of this preparation. It's basic soldier duties such as get in shape, do your weapons qualification training, make sure you understand your job, make sure you're prepared. And then on the spiritual side, you know, as an old general said once, the mechanics take care of the equipment. The chaplains have to take care of the soldiers.
Yeah, we maintain the most lethal weapon system on the battlefield, and that's the soldier. And so you've got to have horizontal relationships with your battle buddies, and you got to have a vertical relationship with your God and your higher power in order to be successful.
So, chaplain, this deployment is coming up later this fall. As you said, it's over 700 soldiers. There's been a lot of training. We've been, over the last couple of years, we've been to the National Training Center. We've been to Warfighter. Our soldiers have been out doing a marvelous job. What kind of shape are they in, and are they ready?
You know, we're ready to go, Tom, and we've been validated by external organizations that are paid by the taxpayer to do that for us, to tell us, hey, we've seen how you perform. We've presented scenarios to you. We've put you under the microscope, and you passed the test. And now the next step is to put you on active duty, give you one more set of preparation stateside, and then they're going to send us over to do a job that we will then be the 4th National Guard Division headquarters to fall in on the mission as the higher headquarters for Task Force Spartan, also known as Operation Spartan Shield, headquartered out of Kuwait.
And, chaplain, I see an advantage here in that we do have some young soldiers going, but we've got some experienced soldiers. You've been deployed several times. You've been to this part of the world before. Leadership has been to this part of the world before. You know what to expect. You're well-trained. You're ready to fall in on that command that's leaving and take over and do your jobs.
Gives us great confidence, and it really helps us, I think, to prepare those younger soldiers, which the very difficult reality is we expect this to continue, this high operational tempo. You know, we're in the operational reserve as the National Guard and no longer just a strategic reserve. So soldiers and families are going to continue to be impacted by this.
Chaplain, I have to take a short break. When we come back, I want to talk a little more about this deployment and its impact on the families of those being deployed. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In today's show, my co-host has been Chaplain Lieutenant Colonel Buddy Wynn, and we've been talking about moral injury, spiritual strength. We've been talking about preparing for deployments, and Chaplain, tied through all of this is the fact that it's pretty necessary that we have some really good chaplains. Do you have enough, and are you looking for more?
You know, I was just looking at our org chart this morning, Tom, and all of the indicators to the left of the name of each person deploying is green, and that's a good symbol in the Army. They are family, emotional, socially, spiritually, physically. They've been validated, and they're ready to go.
And where do the new chaplains come from?
Well, we call us the Holy Land here in the Twin Cities. We've got seminaries, north, central, south, southwest. And so chaplains are coming out of these seminaries and they're getting their first call at a faith community. And, of course, we spend time with those seminaries to develop relationships, to give those soldiers opportunities to answer the call to military service.
So if you're listening to the show and you're a priest, minister, imam, rabbi, you might be eligible to become a chaplain. And as a military spiritual leader, you get a chance to play a vital role in the lives of the men and women of the Minnesota Army and Air National Guard. Chaplains also minister to the needs of the soldiers' families, wives, husbands, and children. And chaplain, when you deploy with the division, you're going to have a chaplain back here taking care of the families.
That's right. We call that our rear detachment chaplain because not everybody deploys, and we've got all the support systems back here. That rear detachment chaplain helps to maintain what we call the logistical support package. That's our loved ones who are, you know, keeping the home fires burning, and, you know, life goes on with our families. We've got kids in school. We've got loved ones who are continuing their education. You know, the snow still needs to be shoveled. The bills have to be paid. The mail's got to get answered. The lawn's got to get mowed. The cars have to get fixed. Water heaters break down and need to be replaced. And that's where we've got such a tremendous, as you well know, such a tremendous support system in Minnesota known as the Yellow Ribbon Network.
Yellow Ribbon Network and a lot of other organizations such as the Minnesota Military Family Foundation and, of course, your support chaplain. But, chaplain, back to your soldiers, when they're deployed and they're on missions, they can't afford to be distracted. They can't afford to be worried about, is my family back home being taken care of? Are there problems? Are there emergencies? And here in Minnesota, we're really lucky to have the Yellow Ribbon Program and all kinds of organizations around Minnesota that are here to take care of those families so that there is an emergency, we can solve it. And then when you're back doing your missions, how good does it feel to know that we've got your back while you're gone, and we'll take care of your family?
Yeah, and you know, Tom, I mean, we are so grateful for the technology we have, and you can get too much of a good thing. I've seen people yelling at their kids over the webcam, you know, in the rear with the gear. And so, you know, for someone to get bad news from home, to be able to remain calm and to, you know, rationally have a response because they know that that system is in place, they can redirect that family member right to the Family Assistance Center to pick up the phone. You know, our first call for help is what we call the Family Assistance Center workers, great, wonderful people with such warm hearts. They're connected to all those resources that you've mentioned, and that gives us peace. I know that nothing's going to happen back home that, you know, our system of support can't help and provide that support to.
And back here in Minnesota, we're leading the nation again. We've developed a series of Yellow Ribbon Networks, over 200 in Minnesota. So as you said, if the snow needs to be shoveled, if the lawn needs to be mowed, if your spouse just needs a break to go get their hair done and have somebody stay with the kids, maybe just come over and have coffee and cookies and talk to another adult. The support system is here. And from all of the interviews I've done in the last 8 years, Minnesota really is out front, and we're providing all kinds of support to help those deployments.
And the one thing we can't forget to mention is the family readiness groups. Those are meetings regularly with other spouses and other family members who are going through these challenging times. Boy, it gets so much easier when you're doing it with someone who can relate to what you're experiencing.
So, chaplain, are you ready?
I'm ready, Tom. My family and I are, we spent a week up at Leech Lake this past summer, between Warfighter and then another week of training at Camp Ripley. We're having family dinner every week, and that time becomes more and more special, tapering off slowly at work so that I can, you know, put as much time with the family in as I can before we have to make that difficult goodbye. And our deployment ceremony will take place mid to late September here in the Twin Cities of Minneapolis and St. Paul.
Chaplain, we just got about a minute left. Can you sum this all up and put it in some kind of words that make sense to our troops and our families and those that are going in harm's way and those that are sacrificing with them?
Ben Franklin said that there has never been a good war or a bad peace. And so what we have to do isn't something that we look forward to and relish, that is being gone from our families. But one thing that we do is we take solace in knowing that we may not be there up on the front lines, pulling the trigger, engaging the enemy, okay? But we know that our role is so significant in kind of standing the line that we're going to bring ourselves back confident, equipped, trained, and returning to our loved ones, you know, taking advantage of all those resources and to being able to sleep well at night under this wonderful blanket of freedom that we enjoy.
Thank you, Chaplain. Joining me now is the Senior Enlisted Advisor to the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Command Sergeant Major Doug Wortham. Sergeant Major, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Well, hello, Tom. Great to be with you. Thanks so much for the opportunity again.
Sergeant Major, we got a little different conversation today because I have a special co-host today is Chaplain Lieutenant Colonel Buddy Wynn.
Oh, well, that's great. I always enjoy speaking with him as well.
Hi, Sergeant Major.
Hello there, Chaplain. Great to hear your voice today.
You too as well, as always.
Chaplain, I understand you and the Sergeant Major spend some time together each month and try to make sure that we're taking good care of our soldiers and airmen.
That's true, Tom. And, you know, Sergeant Major will tell you this. Everywhere we go, he and I are always doing our job. We're not like mechanics or others that, you know, at the end of the workday, they're done. Chaplains and Sergeants Major, wherever we go, we're interacting with, caring for, and providing insight to soldiers and families and airmen as well.
Sergeant Major, we've been talking on the show today about moral injury and spiritual wellness and a little bit about preparing for the upcoming deployment of our division soldiers going to Kuwait. And I know that you and the chaplain kind of compare notes on how you take care of the soldiers and their families.
Yeah, we sure do. And you know, more importantly, I think it's needed to talk about how the reason why the chaplain and I get together and spend time together is we can't effectively help our soldiers, service members, airmen, families if he and I aren't taking care of ourselves. And so it's important that we spend a bunch of time together so that we can make sure that we have our own personal resilience in place. And then that way we can better service our soldiers and our airmen.
Sergeant Major, I'm really glad you said that because I just want to, reinforce how important that is. If you've got a self-care plan, then you can get through just about anything. As you and I both know, you've spent some time overseas in harm's way. You were deployed back in the early 90s in support of Operation Desert Shield, Desert Storm, and then you deployed again with the division headquarters, 34th Infantry Division, the Red Bulls, here a number of years ago. And then, of course, you've done a number of training exercises overseas. What is preparation for that kind of difficult assignment? What did that look like for you, and what lessons did you learn?
Yeah, so, you know, it was different at each different level I was at for my multiple deployments and overseas training things. As I've grown up, what I've learned is how important the family really is, right? When my first deployment, all I had was my mom and dad, my brothers and sisters back home. I mean, and that was really it. I was in a relationship at the time, but I didn't have that this was my personal family nexus like I have now. So the preparation for me has been for my family, what will they do if I should not or will not come home for whatever the reason is, and how can I best prepare them? And so, my advice is, personal matters matter. And coming to that understanding that if for some reason I do not come home, my family, because I've set them up for success, which is what I think all of our service members always want to be able to do, personal success, but also family success. And so that's always a key message is to have that preparation and actually talk through what reality is.
That's right. Sergeant Major, one of our values is personal courage. And what you described, it takes a lot of courage to have that conversation. And so I think you and I would both encourage our service members, if you're not sure how to do that, find somebody that can help you walk through that, someone a little more seasoned, someone with experience, perhaps a chaplain, a senior NCO. Help me have this conversation with my family so that we can ensure that we've done all that we're able to do to set them up for success and expect for everybody to come back home whole and prepare to enter the next season of their life at a new level.
Sergeant Major, it sounds to me like your soldiers and airmen shouldn't be afraid to approach a chaplain or a sergeant major for help with some of these issues.
No, they absolutely shouldn't. We are here. We're at their service, as a matter of fact, and they are our most important asset. You've heard the Adjutant General say that as well, and I fully believe that. I know the chaplain does as well.
Sergeant Major, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you, Tom Chaplin. Great to hear from you again, and I look forward to our next visit.
Likewise, Sergeant Major. Thanks. Take care.
You bet. Thank you.
That was the Senior Enlisted Advisor to the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Command Sergeant Major Doug Wortham. Chaplin, thanks for joining me as the co-host today.
Always glad to be here, Tom.
We're just about out of time. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Dr. Irene Harris, Chaplain Lieutenant Colonel Buddy Wynn, Command Sergeant Major Doug Wortham, Commissioner Larry Shelotto of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General John Jensen. Please join us next week as we talk about the Minnesota National Guard's Chemical Enhanced Response Force and learn about how the SOAR program connects at-risk veterans with Social Security benefits. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.